I want to talk to you here about this definition for trust, right? For trusting in God. And the reason I want to talk to you about trust is there in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 there, we talked about the very first thing it says is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the scripture that we gave. Well, according to Mr. Webster, the definition of trust, it's like this. It says, assured. And if you look at the definition in the Webster Dictionary, you'll find that the word assured, there's some very important emphasis put upon it because it's underlined and bolded in the dictionary. You don't see that too often in the definition. It is obviously emphasized in this definition. It says, assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. That is the definition of trust. Now, let me give you an illustration here to kind of make that definition. Let me try to make it real to you. This is not an illustration that I came up with. Another preacher used this illustration once for trust, and he nailed it. So I'm going to give it to you. So here's what trust is. All right, here's a great example of it. Every one of you have that kind of trust. Similarly, in these pews. Think about it. I know you trust the pews because every single one of you are sitting in these pews. How many of you here are kind of keeping your weight not all the way on the pew, like, just in case, I better be ready to catch myself? No one, right? Everyone fully is putting all of your weight on the pew, aren't you? All of it. Sitting on the pew. Why? Because you trust in the strength and the ability of that pew to hold the weight that you're going to set on it. You have absolute trust in that pew. Furthermore, to expound on this, you have such assured confidence in the ability of the pew that many of you have set other things on it with you. You've set down your purses, your Bibles, your hymnals, little bags or toys or whatever it is. You set that on the pew right along with you, didn't you? And not once did any one of you stop and think, I wonder what the weight limit is on this pew. I wonder if it can withstand this here purse here too. Or, maybe I should not put so many books on here. Or maybe I just need to put my hands underneath just in case this pew is old. I need to hold on to it a little bit, right? No one does that. Why? Complete trust that pew is able to hold you and whatever else you throw at it. Notice how it never even entered your mind when you sat down on it? And I'm not saying nothing, folks. I'm simply saying that's an example of trust. You never once questioned it. That's what it's talking about in the Bible. That's a good picture of how we're supposed to trust in God. To never even question when it comes to God and his ability and belief in God, it's one of those things where it's supposed to be, if our relationship is right, we should know him enough to say, you know what? I don't wonder. I'm not concerned if God is able to hold me up and to hold the weight that I need to place on him right now. I'm not concerned. I don't even have to think if God knows what's happening, if his ability to see me through this is enough. That's what trust is. It's where you are able to lean completely on someone or someone else and be assured confidence in them. That's belief. Never even questioned. Now, God says that we're to question the things that we're taught and to seek and to look into truth and to find these things. But he's not talking about questioning him. He's not saying that once you come to know me to question, if I'm able to do these things or not. Just watch and see that God's able to do them. So that's what trust is. We often, and I put a note here, that we so often lack trust in God to navigate us through those shoals, those rocky places in our life. And when we approach these shoals, often because they're under the water, we don't even know that they're coming. That's the dangerous thing about a shoal, and that's why there's these buoys up there that delineate the path. It'd be a different thing altogether if you always saw it coming. Some of them you can. You can see them kind of jaggedy, sticking out of the water, the tips of the rocks. But often you don't even know they're there till you run aground, right? What happens is, as we approach them, if we do know about them, we don't turn to God, we don't turn to the chart, to His Word, we don't see how what that says or what God has to say on the matter. Rather, again, we turn to whatever it is that we do trust. We lean on our own understanding, which Proverbs 3:6 tells us, as we just read, that we're not to do. Don't lean on your own understanding in those times. Go to God. See, here's an example of what we see. We come to the shoals. We see the buoy path right in front of us. Why? Because we're Christians, and therefore we have the map, and we have God's Word, and we can see how He's lined this out. Hey, go this way. Here's where you want to navigate. This is the wise path to follow. I want you to steer clear of danger in your life. I want you to steer clear of hardship. I want you to steer clear of wickedness and things that are going to question your morality and your righteousness and your holiness. These things are altogether bad. Steer clear of them. And what do? We, being the captain of our own ship, we decide that we know a better way, that there's something that has caught our eye that is for some reason, one reason or another, more favorable to go another path, to go a way of our own choosing, another course of our making. And what happens is, as we go along in life, going our own way, we think we're doing just fine at first. We think things are great. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. I got a plan here. I'm setting out on the sea of life, just sailing along, until suddenly we hit the shoals. We hit the shoals. We are shipwrecked. We've run aground. Now what happens? This is what we refer to in life as hitting rock bottom, right? We've all used that term before. That's basically what happens. And this is where we finally go, okay, God, I need the tugboats now. Go ahead and pull me out of this mess. Now I want your attention. And what do you want? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be now? Now do we want to be making our own path through the waters of life? Huh? Now do we feel like, yeah, I got this. I'll just plot my own course through these shoals. No, now what do we want? God, could you put me over there in the buoy path? That buoy path is sure looking good right now. If you just get me out of this, or if you just be with so-and-so, or if you just take the helm now, I know I'm the captain, but I'd sure like to have you just get a hold of the helm for a little while. I'll let you direct it for a little bit. Isn't that often how our hearts are? Well, now I'm in need, so God, the one who didn't want your directions before, the one who didn't care about the buoy path earlier, who had another plan, now that things have gone awry, God, I'm ready for you to take over now. Go ahead and put me over in the buoy path. Get the tugboats out. Pull me out of this mess that I've got myself into with my life. That's often what happens. We didn't want that at first, though, did we? That's not where we were when we first came up to it, and things seemed like they were going fine. Why? No trust in Him. We didn't believe that He knew best. We didn't believe that God was able to direct, that God knew what was going on, that He was there with us. We didn't believe it. Why? No trust in Him. So why do we want Him now? What's changed? Need is what's changed. We've come to a place where, like always, we realize, I can't move forward. I've made a mess of it. Or, this is beyond me. Maybe it's not a situation that you placed yourself into or that I placed myself into. Maybe it's one of those things of life that no one caused this. It just happened. And then it's one of those things where we say, you know what, God? I should have been looking to You the whole time for my strength. I should have been looking to You this whole time to guide me, to give me understanding, to give me wisdom. But now I'm at a part where I'm so hurt and things are so hard and it's so difficult. Now I'm finally ready to come to You. That's what happens. Let me ask a question for everyone, and it's a question that hits close to home for me. How much difficulty, how much pain, hardship in your life or in the lives of those who are close to you do you know of that could have been avoided simply by following God's Word and His wisdom rather than trying to lean upon our own understanding? How many things in your life can you look back on and go, yeah, I sure wish I'd have listened to God a lot more when I was younger. Or man, that decision that I made back then or the things I was doing, I sure caused a lot of problems for myself or for others. Or yeah, I see this kid I know or this person that I know, and they keep trying, but they're trying to do it. If they just let God take over. If they just let God take over. You see, what we would find is that if we would run first to God, we would find that we have no need to run any further. But that's not what we do. I want to share with you some scriptures here from the Word of God that I hope that they'll be a blessing to you. Psalms 9, 9 and 10 tells us that the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses. Speaking, of course, and we can apply that today to the things of this world. We trust in the bank. We trust in our friends. We trust in our intelligence, our knowledge, our ability, our strength, right? But the second part there of verse 7 says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And in Psalm 31 tells us, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Thou art my God. Folks, if we trust in God, then much like the pews, we have confidence in him and we place all the weight on him. We depend upon his strength, his knowledge, and his ability. Which means that we trust in his chart, in the Bible, in the Word of God. We don't simply acknowledge that it is the Word of God. We don't simply acknowledge that we have God's Word, but we actually trust and believe it, and therefore it is effective in our lives. Because what we believe will be seen in the way that we live. We can say that we believe something all day. We can say that we know something. But if our life shows something different, they're just empty words. That's the truth of the matter. Trusting in God is affirming that even though we are at the helm, we are following His course, for He is the captain of our ship, not us. Not us. And this is why we have so many issues, folks. Even though we're Christians and we know the chart, we know the chart maker, but we don't follow the chart. Now, even following God's map does not mean that we are not going to see troubled waters. It does not mean that we will not enter into the storms of life. It does not mean that the ones that you love and the people close to you aren't going to go through things that are difficult for them. What it does mean is that by following the chart, we can avoid unnecessary dangers, unnecessary troubles. That's what it means. It means that we can avoid compounding the problems in our life, and that whenever we do come to those necessary storms, those things in which there is no way around, we must pass through them, we can direct and navigate it in a way befitting the Lord's will and His wisdom, and it will benefit and behoove us to do so, because we will avoid greater damage on the seas of this life. God wants us to trust in Him entirely, to have absolute confidence in Him, especially in the hours of adversity. We need to utilize His chart, because that, my friends, that is where we will find how to be a good husband and a good father, not from the example of other men, not from Dr. Spock isn't the one to go to find out how to be a parent. It's God's Word. Finding out how to be a good wife or a good mother, it doesn't come from what the other mothers are doing or what the society says or Better House, Homes and Gardens. God's Word is the standard that we should go to. How to be a good child, how to manage our finances and our homes. That, again, that doesn't come from Wall Street or the newspaper. It comes from God's Word. When we get into financial issues, we shouldn't be running to the bank. All right. We shouldn't turn first and say, hey, can I borrow some money? Can I pawn this? It should be, God, I need you. Tell me what to do. Show me the path to take. What shall I do? What will you have of me in this? And if God should say to you, if the answer should be, no, I'm not going to deliver you from this, Rest assured, there is a reason. As the song came this morning that the trio sang, God already knew. It wasn't without his knowledge that you went into the storm, and it's not without his knowledge where you are in the storm. It's also not without his knowledge of where you're going to come out of it and why you're in it. You see, the reason that our trust is so fragile is because we've linked it to what our eyes can see, guys. That's the problem. When we get into that storm and we can't see because the clouds are so dark and so cloudy, and we've got the sea spray, the sea mist. If you've ever been on the ocean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Right? It's hitting you in the face, and it's all salty, so you're just like, I can't see through that. And the ship is tossing you back and forth, so you're trying to get your bearings, and that's what life feels like sometimes. What we do is we take a look at that, and we begin to think, hope is lost. What do I do? That's what happens. When we shouldn't be tying our trust to what our eyes can see, but we should be tying our trust to what God has told us. Because God's eyes see through all of it. We only see what we're seeing right now. He knows tomorrow. He knows past, present, and future. He's outside of time. He's the unmoved mover. He's the one without beginning nor end. Too often, we judge God, and we make decisions in our life based on what we see and what we're going through right now. But that's not how we're supposed to do it. That's not how we're supposed to do it. And here's the thing that and this is going to strike a little close to home for a lot of folks, but if you've been through something or if you're going through something, but there's some truth in it that could be of a great support to you. The reason that this is so difficult for us to do is to trust in what God sees in hard times is because when we're in those turbulent waters, when it's our child that's sick, when it's our home that's burnt up, when it's our job that's been lost, when it's our bills that we can't pay, when things come upon us and we're the ones in that storm, whenever you hear things like, God is good, and don't worry, he's right there with you, often they don't feel very comforting, those words, in those times. They just don't. They seem to fall short of what we need often. And here's the thing about that. They seem naive and frustrating because in the storm we often ask, well, if God is so good, I've been in this storm for a long time. Where is he? What's he doing? Because I could really use some of his intervention right now. That's how the heart feels. We become angry because we can't see through it. I want to take you, though, to one final scripture that we're going to talk about here, which I hope will give you some understanding of this. And I hope that it'll be an aid to you if you are going through things. And if you haven't or aren't going through something, you will. Turn with me, please. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to take a look at verses 37 through 40 before we close out our service tonight. Now, in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, you will notice a very familiar part of the New Testament. It is a story that is in the Gospels, speaking of Jesus and the disciples on the sea in the storm. So as we begin there at verse 37, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." So this is representative of our life in the storm and hardships, right? "And he," speaking of Jesus, "was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." And that may be how you feel at hard times. God, I don't know if you realize something, but we're in a storm. Where are you? Are you asleep on a pillow in the back? Because right now I could sure use you topside. I could sure use you at the helm. Are you sleeping? Have you not heard my prayers? Do you not know what I'm going through? This is how we often feel. Often we feel this way. And I want you to see that. Look at this. Look what the disciples did. It says, and the next verse, "And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" That's exactly how our hearts feel in hard times, isn't it? We're sitting there going, God, if you know everything, don't you care? Have you not heard me praying about this or about that? Have you not heard me praying for this person or for that person? What are you doing? Don't you care that I'm perishing? That's the exact thought that was on their minds. But wait and see. Look at this. Next verse. And he arose, speaking of Jesus, he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And here's what Jesus was trying to tell them. Here's the moral, the lesson of the story. Do you think Jesus had no idea that they were in a storm? Do you think he didn't know what was going on? Brother Keith this morning explained that kings have itineraries. They don't go somewhere coincidentally. Nothing happens without God's knowing. Surely he knew that where they were going. Surely he knew what was happening. But where was he? He was asleep on a pillow. Does that mean he wasn't knowledgeable of what was happening? Does that mean that he didn't care? Just because they're like, well, he's asleep, so obviously he's not doing anything right now. I don't see him doing much. He must not be doing anything. That's not the case. He was trying to tell them, I'm with you. Why don't you have any faith that I'm going to take care of you? Do you think that I didn't know that we were in a storm? Do you think I didn't know that you were afraid? Do you think that I'm just going to sit here and allow you to perish? What happened to me being Lord? Don't you understand that I love you, that I'm knowledgeable, that I am with you? God says in Matthew and throughout the Word of God, he tells all the time that I am with you always. So if you're in that storm, have some faith, have some trust. God is with you. He knows. If you're going through it and he hasn't stopped it, it's because it has not time for it to stop yet. The reason for that storm, the lesson that he's trying to teach you, the growth that he's trying to give you or whoever's in it, it's not fulfilled yet. He's in control. Have some faith. Trust in God. And the last thing here is that they weren't focused on what God was doing. They were focused on what they could see and what they were going through. This reminds me, let me give you some advice here in closing that I often give to my family and my daughters, and you can apply it to your life. I'll tell you what I often tell them. You see, my kids, they love movies, all right? They really get into a good story, and each and every night just about, they'll come to me and say, Dad, read us a story. Hey, you tell us about this or about that. That they really get into stories. And you know what they say more often than anything, what I hear from them when we're watching a movie or something? What's going to happen next? Why'd that happen? Who's that, Dad? How'd that happen? Are they going to be okay? Hey, what's going to happen? And I look over to them and I go, I haven't seen it either. I don't know. I don't know. But you know what the advice that I give them is, and the same advice I'm going to give to you if you're in a storm right now and you're asking questions like that? Do you know what I tell them? Keep watching. Keep watching. God's not done. The story of your life is not over. It's not finished. Hope's not lost. If you will let God take the helm, if you'll trust him, things may not turn out the way that you think that they ought to. Things may not end the way that you're hoping that they will. Maybe this story's got a different path that you don't see coming. But keep watching. There's a purpose, and God is in control. And he knows what you're going through. And whether it turns out the way you want it to turn out or the way that we don't want it to turn out, we have to understand that there's a reason for God and what he's doing, that there is a plan, that what you're going through has a purpose in your life, and he's not asleep on a pillow, all right? You're not all on your own. Now, as we close out the service, I want to ask you something today. Who is the captain of your ship? Who is plotting the course of your life? Are you standing there as the sea is raging about you, trying to steer clear of those shoals with your hands firmly grasping the helm, saying, if I can just fight a little bit more? Or maybe, are you already shipwrecked? Why don't you let God be captain of the vessel? Why don't you let him put his hands on the helm? Why don't you trust in him to get you out of whatever you're in, to lead you away from whatever you're going towards? And the first step in that is trusting in Jesus. Now, trusting in Jesus, I'm talking here about a relationship, as Brother Keith pointed out this morning. Relationship. You can never trust in God until first you know him. You have to know him, and when you know him, you'll begin to see him, and the more you see of God in your life and what he's doing in your life and through your life will cause you to trust in him. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted in God, if he's not the captain of your ship, but after today, maybe you're thinking, you know what? I need a new captain. I need to look at the sea chart. I need him to be my Lord and my Savior. I need him to show me how to live. I need him to be the one that's going to pull me off the shoals that I'm in. Only Jesus Christ can forgive of sin. Only he can save us from hell that we're headed for. If he's not the captain of your life, if he is not the Savior, if he's not your God, maybe you believe that he is, but right now you're feeling that call to believe in him, then in a moment the congregation's going to sing, and this is a time of invitation. When the congregation sings, we invite you to come, raise your hand, whatever it is that you want to do to say, hey, preacher, I want to know more. Preacher, I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll come and I'll talk to you and I'll show you from the Word of God. Or maybe you're a little shy. Maybe you're a little bit nervous and you're saying, I'd sure like to talk to you about it, but I don't know if I'm ready to jump out there on the waters yet. My office is right there. I'll be in there after the service, and the phone number is on the back wall. You can call me anytime. I'll sit and talk with you and answer as many questions as God gives me the ability to answer. As the congregation sings, I invite you to come.